The first lesson for today is from the third chapter of Colossians. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. The second lesson for today is from the 20th chapter of John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Why are you weeping, woman? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended unto the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was 5 years old, my parents, with the best of intentions, enrolled me in a beginner swimming lesson through the Chicago Park District. I remember distinctly my bright reddish-orange one-piece suit, and I remember clearly the last lesson I had. For those of you who know how to swim properly, you've found the rhythm of inhaling while you turn your head to the side and exhaling while you're underwater. This makes a great deal of sense. I, being a child with little rhythm when more than one thing is going on, who has grown into an adult with little rhythm when more than one thing is going on. I can either sing along to a song or I can clap along. I cannot do both. I could not get a grasp on the cadence of turn left and breathe, turn down and exhale, turn left and breathe, turn down and exhale. The instructor, who, as I look back on it, couldn't have been older than 17, in hopes of helping me figure it out, held and turned my head while giving me instructions. Little did she know that this would not be an effective teaching method for me. What she ended up with was a panicked kindergartner who truly believed she was going to die every time her head was held underwater. My parents promptly understood there would be no way to convince me to go back. My desire for self-preservation was heretofore unknowingly far greater than my desire for approval. I never went back. To this day, I can only swim an ungraced backstroke, enough to save my own life, but no one else's. This story comes to my mind this Easter because our reading from the letter to the Colossians points to the baptisms of the members of the church there. Historically, from early church days, the season of Lent was a time of preparation for those desiring to join in membership, for catechumens, which culminated in baptism on Easter Sunday. As a sprinkling church, the connection between the physicality of baptism and dying and rising in Christ is maybe not so clear to us. Imagine, though, a baptism of immersion. Being immersed was likened to going down to the pit, to dying. And being lifted from the water, the closing of the human part of the baptismal act, was being raised as Christ was in resurrection on that first Easter Sunday. This is why Paul wrote, as he did to the church in Rome, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life." With my face underwater, death seemed so immediate. When the instructor had finally stopped and I knew that I wasn't going to die, I could breathe calmly again. Through baptism, we have faced the terrible underwater and come out on the other side, alive again, and even better. Unlike my temporary reprieve from death those many years ago, with the raising of baptism, our reprieve is permanent, eternal. Professor Martha Moore Kish explains, "The point is not that we are located at a particular altitude, but that our identities are no longer defined by the world in which things and people die." She continues, "We who rest our faith in Christ's resurrection know that death does not have the last word. We place our faith beyond this realm, and so we, in a real sense, draw our lives, our identities, from Christ on the other side of death." Pastor Peter Marty adds, "Baptism into Christ means being empowered to live a life that is informed by the resurrection. At the start of Lent, we planted small, dead-looking seeds in soil that we prepared as we remembered on Ash Wednesday that we will return to the earth from which we have come. These seeds, as you can see, have sprouted into plants inches high in just these short weeks. Life appeared from what seemed dead. The seeds were pushed down into the darkness and were drawn up by the light into something new. The thing is, they're still rooted to the soil in which they came. In fact, that soil is a critical part of their survival, their identity. We read in Colossians the instruction, "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is." Some have mistaken this instruction to be also implying to look down on the physical, tangible, soft, and vulnerable bodies of ours in favor of more godly, ethereal things. But just as the plants need their tangible, soft, vulnerable roots, we need these bodies just as much as we need that which is above. More Kish continues, seeking the things that are above then does not mean world-denying asceticism, but freedom to live in the world without fear of death or ultimate regard for things that perish. The seeds we planted are perennials, but not eternals, so they will one day die. Now, while they live, you are invited to come up after worship and take as many as you would like to add to your own home, whether directly into a sunny spot in the ground or into a container in the sun. They are meant to be your reminder that life springs from even that which we might think is dead, and that light can transform what seems something that seems insignificant into something beautiful. Even the random blade of grass which made it into our little greenhouse. Without Christ's defeat of death, we would have been like Gaiardia, Dianthus, Coreopsis, painted daisies, and even the grass, perennial, with many years in us, but not forever. Assured of life beyond this one through God's almighty acts in Christ, we are free to live in the world without fear of death or ultimate regard for things that perish. How do we know this with certainty? Rather than simply be raised, disappear from the tomb, Jesus appeared to the people who knew with certainty, painful, sob-racked certainty, that he had died, in order to show what God had done. And because Mary Magdalene did as Christ asked, shared the good news for the first time, we have come to know this story and believe that death is no match for God. Through all the generations who have contributed and continued to share this good news. We read the story again today as a reminder. We are free to live in the world without fear of death or ultimate regard for things that perish. That means we have been freed to live as if our stuff didn't matter, to live without fear of death, to live generously and boldly and abundantly, to be rooted in this world and embrace it with Jesus-like love. So today, we say thanks be to God for the good news that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that your Son, Jesus, died so we might live free and freely. Amen.